is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, brought to you by the NFL Alumni Association. Charles, it's been a rough time in your neck of the woods lately with the San Antonio Spurs winning the number one overall selection in the NBA draft the other night. Houston fans upset everywhere.
Yeah, and I'm a Detroit fan too. So,
oh boy,
I'm also the draft lottery is stupid. I mean, it really is. It's just ridiculous. I get it. You know, with the NBA, it's funny to me, though, to watch every year this debate happen about whether or not the NFL should have the draft lottery. No, the NFL should not have the draft lottery. I think the draft lottery is dumb. You know, if you want to stop tanking in your sport, there's other ways to do it. But legitimately, there's no way you could watch some of these. I mean, including the Rockets, the Pistons, a number of these teams, and not have ruled that they were objectively bad. And to watch teams that are in that situation fall as far as, I mean, look, the Pistons fall into five is just, I mean, that's completely ridiculous. There's no way you should be drafting fifth when you had a team that basically had no ability to play defense last season. And you can tell me that, sure, a number of teams that, you know, we're clearly better constructed and more ready to win now should have draft picks ahead of them. And there's no way the NFL, we got to stop this argument about whether or not the NFL, are you guys on in favor of the NFL potentially having a draft lottery?
No, God, absolutely no. Not. I didn't even know that was a thing. I'm offended you brought it up.
No, it happens every year. You get, you know, Mike, I think Mike Florio is one who brought it up this year, which I don't have anything against Mike. I like Mike, you know, Mike and I talk and, I always think it's an interesting debate, but everybody brings it up every year. Someone will bring it up of note. And I just don't understand, particularly with the NFL, why people don't get this idea that in the NBA, you can take a generational player that can change a team. And I can see why the NBA is like, look, when a LeBron comes along, when, you know, a Victor Wembanyama comes along, a Tim Duncan, whatever, you don't want teams sitting there going, well, yeah, that overnight we could, you know, potentially change our fortunes with this player. The NFL is not like that. There's no quarterback you can take that's automatically going to change your franchise forever. Caleb Williams next year, whoever takes him number one, is not going to be able to do it by himself. It's just way more difficult in the NFL for any one player to transform an entire team the way you can in the NBA. So, you want to stop tanking, hammer teams, you know, figure out a different way to go at it. Don't turn a situation, you know, don't turn fan bases suffering through a god-awful 1-16 season into, hey, guess what? Now you get the fifth pick, Titans fan. Even though you watched your team go 1-16, you're going to draft fifth. That's stupid.
So, Charles, speaking of quarterbacks, it's an interesting situation to monitor right now with Joe Burrow specifically. I want to just kind of ask you about like the idea of a quarterback, especially a Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert or somebody of that level, taking less money to keep players on his team around him. We saw like the Brady stuff and Brady do that, but what do you make of that idea, how it's viewed by other players at that position, and whether or not you think Joe Burrow might do that?
Well, it's interesting because Mike Brown, the Bengals owner last summer, was the one who, after Patrick Mahomes had kind of expounded on why he took this 10-year, $450 million deal, Patrick Mahomes kind of expounded on it and said, you know, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here, like, you know, I'm going to be fine. I make a lot of money off the field. I'm set, you know, financially for life. And it's about, you know, being able to build a team around him. The team, even when he signed the deal, I remember Andy Reid, Brett Veach, the general manager in Kansas City, both said it was a team-friendly deal. It's something he wanted to do. And Mike Brown, you know, on the heels of Mahomes kind of expounding on it last offseason, brought up that, hey, I like that. I like that he said this. And, of course, you know, Mike Brown was going to say that because he knew he's got a Joe Burrow deal coming up. And there's really kind of, at that point in time, and I think it's bore out in, at this stage, you've sort of seen three ways these super elite quarterback contracts can go. You can go the Deshaun Watson route, which clearly now has become an outlier, but it still exists, which is, hey, shorter-term deal, 4 to 5 years, fully guaranteed, massive escrow hit for ownership, going to create problems almost immediately in terms of having to reshuffle the money, which the Browns already had to restructure once going into year two. And that's only going to become more, you know, more of a burden moving forward. And then the next route you can go is the more traditional route that we've seen Jalen Hurts go, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, all these other players, which is put me at the top of the heap, give me, you know, close to the highest, you know, guaranteed number possible that's not Deshaun Watson or somewhere in that neighborhood, get my APY, you know, $1 million more per year than the last guy or whatever it's going to be, which is another burdening contract that you can manipulate and shuffle with good cap people. But also it weighs heavily on teams. And then there's the Mahomes route. You're giving a team long-term control, like a decade of control. And if that APY stays where it is, and Mahomes knew this when they signed the deal, you're going to have, within a couple of years, it's going to look like a dated deal, which Mahomes does. I think he's sixth or seventh right now in terms of APY amongst quarterbacks. By the time Herbert comes in, Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, he's going to be like the 10th highest paid quarterback in league APY. And technically, the team won't be on the hook for long-term guaranteed money. I know they're not cutting Patrick Mahomes. That's not the idea, but it is an element of control that you're handing over that will make it easier for them to retain certain players around him. And, you know, so that's what Burrow's staring at. And I think what was surprising to me was that Burrow came out and said he's indicated. Now, we haven't seen him do the deal yet, so we don't know for sure, but he's indicated that he's entering into this going, I want to keep Ja'Marr Chase. I want to keep T. Higgins. I want to keep these other guys that I know have extensions. And so that's kind of the pathway we're trying to take when we negotiate this deal. It's interesting, you know, not a lot of quarterbacks. It would only, as I put it when I wrote about it, there are really only two other quarterbacks in Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes who have done this, where they've approached it and said, I'm going to take a submarket deal, not necessarily maximize my salary. It's going to allow us to build the team around me, and we'll see what the success looks like. I would just say about those two guys, they earned so much money off the field, both of them, because they were literally probably the number one marketed player in the NFL that had afforded him the opportunity to do that. I love Burrow to death. I think he's a great player. I don't know that he's ever going to be the number one most marketed player in the NFL.
I don't know, man. If Home Alone 4 comes out,
he can play the dude. Have you seen, like, Burrow has this, like, following on social media?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a,
he has a what?
Yeah, he has, like, this following on social media that is not football-related at all. Like,
people love him for Joe Burrow.
It's total obsession with him, and it has very little to do with football. It's all about, you know, how Joe Burrow looks, and, you know, it's just like
skateboarding or something. Like, what's he doing?
I don't even know how to do. He's just
dreamy, man.
I'll send you like links to it. Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's. I ran into it last season. Some people started sending me, you know, check these accounts out and stuff, and I was like, you know, it'd be like videos like on different mediums where you'd be like 7 million people view this in like 2 days. Like, what is going on? And it was definitely not in the football vein, I will put it that way.
Sounds like he could get some serious NIL money. You know?
Maybe he wants to go back.
So, you know, Charles, we really don't have time right now. I think we may need to take a break, but I want to go to break with this question for you. Why are you, Jory Epstein, and Yahoo Sports haters of Will Levis? I want you to have a couple minutes to stew on that and come up with an answer for
us. Get into that coming up next. We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You know, Charles, you even got into some sniping with some people in this market we like. I mean, what? Okay, so, and then, now wait, okay, so for people who don't know, I'll quickly recap this. You guys have, you and Jory are on the podcast kind of, you know, talking Levis, a little bit of some of the stuff that, like, Vrabel kind of threw cold water on some of the stuff he said or whatever. But the overlay says, does Mike Vrabel hate Will Levis? Now, I took that as you guys are kind of having fun with it, a joke, but some people took it very seriously. And then, though, you deleted it or you took the wording off? Like, what happened here, Charles?
Oh, I didn't delete it. They took the video down just because.
Did you tell them to?
Well, let me put it this way. Joe, you and I have been in the business long enough. Have you ever in... It never happens where an editor puts a headline on your story that doesn't fit the story. That never happens.
That's a good point. I can't recall any instances of that. Yeah.
I can't recall in my entire life ever having an editor get their hands on a story and put a headline on and going, yeah, that doesn't really fit what I wrote. Like, I mean, like, I don't fully understand. Or, God forbid, a podcast of all things with literally minutes and minutes and minutes of context, a whole chunk of a podcast gets boiled down into 60 seconds. And it's the spiciest possible stuff that gets clipped together. And then someone makes an editorial decision to ask a question that you didn't actually ask.
So we've hit a nerve here.
Hey, listen, no offense to anybody at paulkaharski.com. I'm sure maybe you write your own headlines. I'm sure maybe you guys are doing your own editing, but we work in a place, and I don't think it's any different in some of the other shops where a year does not go by in which a piece of content does not get posted, in which you see something where an editor does or says something, and you're like, yeah, I don't necessarily agree with that. Unfortunately, I've gotten so like used to when they post anything with the podcast, I just retweet it because I'm like, okay, I was on the podcast and, you know, it's a piece of content. I'm helping to promote the podcast. And I literally retweeted it. I think it was like the night before. The blind retweet. Okay, it came from the Yahoo Sports site, whatever. And then, of course, you know, then you're like, wait a minute, why are my, you know, notifications blowing up a full day later? I don't even know what's going on. And then when I look at it, I'm like, well, we didn't actually ask if he hated Will Levis. Like, what is going on? The only thing I ever take umbrage with, and you know, part of the reason why the video got pulled down is because we were like, we didn't actually ask that question. And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and defend an editor asking the question. I take umbrage with this idea that, like, well, these people have never watched a Mike Vrabel press conference. Jeez, obviously they don't know what kind of person Mike Vrabel is. I'm like, dude, give me a break. I stood in front of Mike Vrabel when he played for the Patriots. Okay, he was here for years in Houston. Like, this is not my first rodeo with Mike Vrabel, you know. And if you, I understand the piece of content, people getting upset about it. Everybody, you know, circles the wagons for, you know, draft picks and their guys and everything. I'm not even saying it's an illegitimate question about, you know, why would you let someone cut something in a way in which it doesn't reflect necessarily what the conversation is. But I also think it's completely unrealistic to think that never happens in media. And I'm not going to lose, you know, I'm not going to blow a gasket about it, whatever. It was funny to me. And when the video got pulled down, I was like, hey, well, at the very least, when Will Levis has a 400-yard, like, five touchdowns.
Bring it back.
I will have that video coming back about, oh, Mike Mike hates Will Levis, who just threw for 400 yards his last touchdown.
When they're tearfully embracing and people are pouring Gatorade on both of them at the same time, like Flashdance or something, like Irene Cara Flashdance, and you're gonna, it's all going to come back at you. Oh, I can't wait. Right. Yeah, you are now known as L.H. Robinson, Levis Hater Robinson.
Yeah.
Now, I do.
When Mike's, by the way, when Mike's like first grandchild is like Will Vrabel.
Yes. All right. I have a Levis-related question. This is philosophical, but you could apply it directly to this situation if you like. So misinformation, draft misinformation, which I typically think of as a team likes a prospect. So, hey, let's throw something. Let's dirty the water a little bit. Yeah, not sure about this or that. Get it out there. Maybe it helps us get them. How prevalent is, let's say, hypothetically, this year, you got a bunch of quarterbacks kind of jostling for, you know, a limited number of spots at the top of the draft, like an agent of another quarterback, for example, putting stuff out to harm the client of a different agent. How prevalent is that, if at all?
I guess you could say it's not limited to just quarterbacks. I mean, I think
It would be anything where there's a competitive situation in a draft, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it does happen. I mean, I don't think, especially with agents. I mean, agents are always going to pitch the idea of their client being better than everybody else's client, and they'll tell you, you know, this guy has character issues, or this guy, you know, bring up certain cut-ups, or they'll find whatever statistical analysis most supports their vantage point. I think that's pretty regular. I don't think that's unusual. And then even teams, I mean, even inside organizations, you know, you'll have, I'll give you an example. I had an AFC team this year that was in the market for a wide receiver. Coaching staff, and the head coach in particular, really liked one kid. And the front office and the area scout, the overtop scout, they really liked another guy, and there was clearly there was a rift there between the two. If you talk to people in the building, they would pitch their guy while kind of like, you know, running down the player who actually got drafted. Meanwhile, you know, if you talk to the coaching staff, they loved the kid that got drafted and thought the other guy was overrated, whatever. And this is inside, you know, one organization. So it's, everybody's going to fight for who they think the better player is, and then once it plays out, they'll have their excuses for, you know, why their side or their thought process wasn't state of the art at the time looking back. But it's prevalent, but I think for reporters and media and all this, we have to sort of sift through that. And I don't know if this is like a Will Levis conversation. I will say this about Will. He was definitely one of the prospects, and I think you have to look at it as a sort of tapestry of different people you talk to, where you would hear a lot of the same things. And it did not feel like, oh, this is a grand, massive conspiracy to say that Will Levis has an acquired taste personality. I will say this, Will's not alone. You know, he went through that in a much more difficult way than most prospects do because he's a quarterback. Everything with a quarterback is blown out of proportion, you know, to the millionth degree. It's just how it is, particularly anything that people think reflects on leadership or how's he going to gel with the coaching staff or players or meeting rooms, yada, yada, yada. Aaron Rodgers is a great example. His entire career, as good as Aaron Rodgers has been, he's always rubbed certain players wrong, you know, teammates. There have always been people inside the Packers that did not like Aaron or the way he carried himself. There were other people who were like, I am literally just employed, you know, for years because of Aaron Rodgers and the ability that he brings to the table. Levis, you know, quarterbacks are like that. I mean, unless it's just, it's not like Tom Brady didn't get ripped internally with the Patriots. He did. There were people of the Patriots that did not like Tom and thought that, you know, particularly people in the front office where they would push, hey, drafting, you know, this certain rookie receiver or whatever. And then they would feel like Tom just disassembled them as soon as the player was through a half dozen practices in training camp. And they hated that. They felt like, hey, Tom destroyed this guy's confidence and he's not the same. The best players have it happen It's prevalent, though, definitely. But it's upon people to understand what they're hearing.
Headline: Charles Robinson compares Will Levis to Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what, Titans fan, like, leave that one up. You leave that up.
Keep that one. That's right. Well, Charles, we really appreciate you taking time to be with us today. As always, have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Sounds good, guys. Take care.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest here on Robbie and Rex. We'll take your thoughts on what Charles had to say there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll have more on that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Thanks to Charles Robinson for being with us. Did seem like that struck a nerve with Charles on the video. Talk about the Vrabel and Levis situation there. You were digging.
I must say.
Capital J journalism.
I must say. A headline or two has been problematic in my years. But it's funny, though. The blind retweet, man. The blind retweet will get you.
It will.
Also, we have a new term now that I may have to start employing a lot.
Okay.
Acquired taste personality.
Oh, yes.
An acquired taste personality.
Yes.
Interesting.
That's good.
We all know a few people like that, though.
Go ahead. Name some names.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Well,
I just mean, like, everybody has somebody who they meet at first and they're kind of like, not sure how I feel.
My wife.
But then you get to like them once you get to know them better, and you're like, this is just them. Like, I feel like most are like, I mean, you wouldn't know the people, but
by the way, that was a reference to Katie thinking that about me. To be clear. Okay. Yep.
I'm glad you cleared that up.
Yeah. I thought she was amazing from day one.
Joe and his puppy dog eyes.
Yeah. His Lego hair.
Toupee.
Yeah.
Your toupee.
Toupee with a bald spot in the top to make it look real.
So would you like to react to what Charles had to say, or do you have more thoughts on the Admirals playoff win last night? Which way you want to go?
Well, I have thoughts on how I'm on Twitter, and now, of course, Twitter is just – I keep saying I'm going to get off Twitter, and then I don't. But, like, there's all this random crap that now is in my feed that I want nothing to do with, and a lot of it's political. I want nothing to do with it. But then I have, like, a fan in Texas, like, I got to meet Askarov last night, like, which is cool, good for you, but why is it in my feed? Like, I talk a little bit of trash about the Milwaukee Admirals, and Twitter is forcing them into my face.
We know you have been seeking out and finding play-by-play updates from the Milwaukee Admirals. It's okay to admit it now.
You don't need to seek it out.
Joe was live streaming the game last night.
What's that?
Joe was live streaming the game last night.
And by the way, And by the way, it's gone now, but speaking of Twitter, it was just trending. Hashtag Mil, M-I-L hockey.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
People around here fired up, man. Fired up about the playoff.
Be fired up about the individual players.
I think they are. I think that's why. What do you make of the quarterback discussion with Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert kind of next up with the big money contracts? We saw Jalen Hurts get his deal. We saw Lamar Jackson get his deal. And the next two coming up are Herbert and Joe Burrow. And there's a lot of talk about Joe Burrow right now potentially taking a, quote, team-friendly deal in order to keep the talent around him. And as Charles brought it up, like a lot of people, you know, it's a very rare thing to do. Burrow has talked about kind of alluding to that in his press conference and wanting to have players around him to build around as they move forward and be competitive with, obviously, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins kind of heading the list there. We don't see players actually do this a whole lot, and part of that is because, of course, you want to maximize your value, but also part of that that probably doesn't go talked about enough in sports is, like, players and the Players Association kind of hate it when players do that, when they don't take their max value because...
So do agents,
because you're not resetting the market where they think it should be at that point. So what do you make of this discussion around Joe Burrow specifically maybe taking less money in Cincinnati than he's worth to have guys like T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase maybe around for the long haul?
Are you suggesting the salary cap is real?
Whoa.
I think the only people who could possibly consider things like this would be the superstar quarterback who, again, like we've talked about, has all kinds of income coming from other places and can afford to sacrifice a little bit. Apparently, Joe Burrow's hotness is a big part of his money making. But to me,
it's a dreamy guy, good-looking cat,
and the fashion,
yeah,
fashion trends. That's remember it. Last year, the fur coat with the glasses.
Yeah, he's worn some stuff that's really goofy to me, but sure. But I always thought with Brady, like Robert Kraft is putting money in a Swiss bank account, and he's just going to have enough money to buy an island at some point, well, right?
Maybe
during those times.
Yeah.
Like at the what would stop? Obviously, you would never do anything while he's playing for you and jeopardize anything. But what would stop Robert Kraft from like post retirement just giving Brady here's the number to this Swiss bank account, all the money that you forfeited here it is, and it's actually also acquired a lot of interest.
Headline:
why not?
You Robert know? Kraft has Swiss bank account waiting for Tom Brady. Yeah.
I'm not kidding. Yeah.
That's playing chess.
Make it worth your while. Some of this is, I mean, look, some of this is like ego, and it's like, you know, Mark, I should be the highest paid. I mean, right. Like, look at all these deals. Now I'm the highest paid, whatever the position is, and then a month from now, I know he'll be higher than me, but I have a month of being number one. You know, like, and it is like you don't want to get taken advantage of, and you know how fleeting things are in this league.
Yep.
So for the most part, yeah, it doesn't happen. But, I mean, I applaud Joe Burrow. If there's actually some sacrifice he can make and it actually tangibly means they get to keep another player or two that they wouldn't otherwise, why not? I mean, you're trying – because ultimately, if you do win rings, then – and I'm not saying this is the driving force behind it, but there's a benefit too. If you actually win and win rings, then all your marketability and everything is going to go up from that too.
Well, right. Like Mahomes is a great example, right? His average pay per year is $45 million, which is a lot of money. But he's not – I don't even think he's in the top five anymore in terms of the highest paid players in the league. Now, you could say that. Now, he's also signed through 2031, and if he plays out the whole contract, he's going to make $503 million. So the guy's going to be all right. I mean, we know that. But it's just a different way of doing things. Like, you know, Jalen Hurts got his money. Good for him. Like, nothing's wrong with the way that Jalen Hurts or Lamar Jackson or anybody else approaches the contract, but – as Charles brought up, like we've seen Brady do it, and we've seen Mahomes maybe kind of take the team-friendly deal. That's about it. Like it doesn't really happen all that much. And if Burrow does that, that would kind of be kind of the next guy that does it. But I don't – I mean, Herbert's not going to do it, I don't think. Burrow, you also don't have two players like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on a team very often to keep that around.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like what are the positions, you know, where – like where you have like premium players you're trying to keep, you know, and some of them are just higher pay. You know, for the Titans, they got a premium player at a cheap position, Derrick Henry, for example. You know, but if you have two like number one caliber, you know, receivers, then that does make it a little bit more challenging. What? This is amazing. Did you see what Will just sent us?
No.
I totally remember this, man. I don't know why. I'm Will from Nashville. Just sent us the little story of Kaharski. This, I swear, this totally changed Derrick Henry's outlook on media. I swear, this is all on Kaharski. Click on that URL.
Okay.
Just click on what he said. This is a USA Today story. Says Derrick Henry receives unfair judgment on first day of rookie minicamp because it was this Kaharski video about like Derrick Henry. I totally remember this, like missing something in a drill. And everybody's like, you suck, Kaharski. You're so mean. And then I swear Derrick Henry like loved us, and then since then he doesn't like talking to media.
So it's Kaharski's fault.
Yes. We're going back 7 years. May 15th, 2016. What great memories.
Good pull from Will from Nashville on the text line there. It's going back.
God, Kaharski is amazing.
Liam on the text line says, when did the Bengals owner stop being a clown? He's going to mess this up at some point soon, isn't he? It's from Liam on the text line. There is the thought out there that the money could be a problem when it comes to Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase, and all the money those guys are going to make, and that maybe the Bengals would struggle to pay that. I don't know. I mean, they're an NFL owner, so I would hope you could do that. But
yeah, so you're talking about not the cash. You're talking about what Jared says is the only consideration, the
cash.
Not the cap, the cash. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that whole discussion is – you own an NFL team, you are in a business that is absolutely growing and your investment continues to look better and better. You can find the cash to pay players on your team.
Yeah.
It's yes, some more easily than others. Every single person in the NFL has at least $2 billion of net worth. I find that to be a ridiculous conversation.
Well, and, you know, how much money has Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase being on the Bengals made the Cincinnati Bengals at this point, too? With everything that's going on with them down there.
The idea that anyone...
We're up there.
Yeah.
They are north.
The idea that anything but, yeah, but actually the rules that you do have to stay within... Like, you can find ways, but, like, it's not an endless adjustment that you can make. Yeah, other than that, that's you're going to pay people if you can pay them.
So I guess the idea that we came into the offseason with of T. Higgins potentially being available at some point, if Joe Burrow has his way, that's probably not going to happen in Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting, too, because if you're T. Higgins, this sounds great and all, but do you still feel like... You know, somewhere else as the guy, my value is still maximizing. And I can still do a lot better for myself, and I can still go somewhere and win.
Well, that's the thing, like, because if the quarterback takes less than he's worth, like in the back of their minds, or Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, like, man, does that mean I have to take like less than I'm worth just because the quarterback did it to try to make everything work here? I mean, you don't have to do that if you're those two guys.
No, just let Joe do it.
Yeah, let Joe do it.
Just do the Home Alone phase and take less money, and we'll take more.
Just keep being TikTok famous, apparently, and make money that way for Joe Burrow.
Yeah. DJ Burnside, fastest illustration ever, by the way, with Joe Burrow as Home Alone, as Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah, photoshopped Macaulay Culkin's face over the top of it, which is not that different, although Joe Burrow a lot better looking.
I mean, Macaulay Culkin was, good-looking dude. Well,
some things that may have happened with Macaulay Culkin.
That's true. He's had a rough go.
615-737-1025.
Never know where this show might go.
Phone number 615-737-1025. Have more of your thoughts to get to on our text line. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. There's Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025.
So Will and I going back and forth on this PK video, and it is amazing when you read this. So PK, again, put out this video of Derrick Henry, and he, like, stumbled and going through the bags.
Back in 2016.
Yeah, yes. Back in 2016, rookie minicamp, May, 7 years ago. It is amazing. But here's the thing. And this is a nice little contrast to Kaharski yesterday. Like, you're talking about Will Levis like he's so awesome. Why is he so awesome? Because of one throw in rookie minicamp. Right? But to be fair to Kaharski, he just threw out the video. Maybe on his show back at the time, he was ripping Henry. I don't remember. But this little thing from USA Today, here's to Nick Birdsong. I don't know him, but Sporting News. This is a quote. Quote, maybe he's going to be terrible at the next level. This is about Henry.
Sure.
Stepping through some bags. And then Ryan Phillips from The Big Lead also suggested that the first day in minicamp could signify Henry's troubles in fall training camp and beyond.
Yes.
And then also in this thing, Jim Wyatt had a video that was more thorough, and Henry went successfully through the – I thought I could be wrong, but I think also Kaharski had a video of Henry dropping a pass and was like, he can't catch the ball. So, but I don't think Kaharski was making sweeping judgments at the time. I don't think so. We'll have to ask him next time.
Yeah,
we have him on.
We'll have to get all over that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Joe, we brought this up earlier in the program, like the path to the playoffs for the Titans. Is it as simple as you better beat Jacksonville and win the division, or could there be a wild card path to the playoffs for the Titans as well? Based on the AFC, and we talked about Baltimore and the Jets earlier a lot, two different off seasons, but Lamar's back in Baltimore. If they stay healthy, they could be pretty good. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is now with the Jets, so the AFC is becoming harder that way, at least on paper. You've got Sean Payton now with the Broncos. We'll see whether or not he can resurrect what we saw from Russell Wilson a year ago. I still kind of have my doubts there, but we'll see what happens on that front. But bottom line is, on paper, a lot of really good teams in the AFC. So is there a realistic path to the playoffs for the Titans that does not involve winning the division in the AFC South this year?
I think there is, because AFC is so good that I think you may see some teams drag other teams down. And I don't – just because the AFC is loaded. The AFC is way better than the NFC. So I suppose because of that, you may see a lopsided overall record between AFC and, you know, NFC, which means better records than AFC, but I think you're going to see a lot of beating up on each other in the AFC. And look, the Titans have the NFC South. If the Titans didn't have the NFC South this year and they had – what's – well, the East NFC looks pretty East. Good. If they had the East again, what'd they go against the NFC East last year? They lost to the Eagles, they lost to the Giants, they lost to the Cowboys, and they had required a David Long Jr. pick of Carson Wentz on the last play, basically, to beat the Commanders. So they were lucky to go 1-3. So I think any of the other divisions in the NFC, the Titans, I would not like the outlook as much. I'd like it with the NFC South. I think that the wild card,
especially
is on
if it was the North, man. If they had to play the Lions, jeez.
Well, that's next year. I know. So I just and by then the Lions should be in full Super Bowl form. So really, it may time out even worse than this year. The Lions are probably just going to get to like the NFC title game,
right?
You know, they're probably not quite ready for a Super Bowl dynasty that's on the way. Next year, the dynasty starts. So.
Correct.
Going to be. So enjoy it this year. No, I think, look, in all seriousness, I think a wild card is absolutely on the table. Like a 9-8 team as a 7 seed in the AFC, yes, I think that's possible. There's you go through these schedules, and it's not like I've gone through every one. I went through Jacksonville's earlier on the show. A lot of good games on there, a lot of tough teams on there. And I think it's not going to be a bunch of like 12-5, 11-6 teams and then a total drop off, I don't think.
I don't think so either. Now, I would also imagine if you're an NFC South team, well, like if you're New Orleans right now, you're looking around, you're saying, huh, the Titans. It's not bad.
Ooh, the Jags.
The Texans.
The Texans.
The Colts.
The Jags. Sorry, not the Jags. The Jags are amazing. They're Super Bowl caliber.
Correct. The Colts and the Texans. Like, so, you know, it's one of those situations where, like, you know, we're doing a radio show here in Nashville, and we're looking at the NFC South, and I agree. Like, it's the weakest division on paper in the NFC. So it's a good draw for the Titans this year to have that. Meanwhile, a radio station in New Orleans right now is looking around saying, oh, look, the Saints, they get the AFC South. It's a good draw for the Saints in the AFC too.
Who dat? Who dat?
Yeah.
They say that too.
They do.
WHMR in New Orleans. Yeah, no, it's nice. It's nice for both sides. I mean, I suppose maybe this is how it should be. You know, you put the crap against the crap and put best against best and, you know, we'll see what happens. But no, the Titans. I mean, look, the Titans' schedule. Again, if they can go 2-2 in the first four games, there's a lot of potential winning on the rest of that schedule. A lot of meat on that bone.
Yeah. Jim on the text line says, "Pull up a picture of Tim Robbins from The Shawshank Redemption. He could pass for Joe Burrow's twin. They even kind of have a similar hairstyle when I think about it.
Interesting.
Burrow's kind of smart.
Interesting. Could Burrow break out of a prison in that manner?
Spoiler alert."
Wow! Come on, who out there hasn't seen Shawshank Redemption?
It's on TV every day.
Oh, Michelle just raised her hand. I think I've already said this before. Nick Kieser, listen to me, Nick. He's not on the mic. Just ask Nick Kieser.
Yeah, he's seen it.
Okay, thank you. How old are
you? It's on TV.
How old is Nick?
He's younger than me.
Yeah, he's 27. Yeah, dude, come on. Everybody's seen Shawshank Redemption except you. You're 24. Except you, dude. We have to have an intervention with
the show. I don't really watch TV.
It's not TV, it's a movie.
Or that.
Bro. Like, I need to put together a list of most infuriating movies she hasn't watched.
I do love
that's
my reality
be on
TV.
There,
right?
Near the top.
Yeah, so you're going to watch reality TV for hours instead of, it's like.
Love is Blind?
Like, here's filet mignon, but no, here's some Twizzlers. No, eat the filet mignon.
Well, you're just, it's like your crack.
It's just like your opinion, man.
Just your opinion,
which,
man.
By the way, is another great movie you've never seen called The Big Lebowski.
Bingo, correct.
Yeah, and you've seen it, Nick. Are you sensing a theme here?
No.
This helps you in life.
I'm like poor.
To be able to quote movies helps you in life.
Michelle, just start live tweeting Milwaukee Admirals games and you'll be fine. Watch those movies too.
Oh, God.
Kieser's Joe watches those.
Kieser's already got a huge notebook ready to like chart every single shift tonight or whenever they play again, which I don't want to know.
Mike on the text line goes, wait, Andy escapes? <It's from> Mike. on the text line.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry.
Joe's ruining movies left and right.
You're like
the program.
You're watching. You're like halfway through watching it right now at 8:54 in the morning.
It's
like,
probably.
No!
I mean, the odds are it's probably on TV somewhere as we speak right now.
That is a good point. Mike says, turn so bad to freedom. Oh, my gosh.
Took a long time to carve out that path, man. Long time.
The Michelle has no idea what we're talking about. Turd-soaked path to freedom.
In the last 15 minutes on this program, we've discussed Macaulay Culkin and now a turd-soaked path to freedom.
You know, Andy Dufresne, not an acquired taste personality.
No.
Likeable right from the start. He and Morgan Freeman, what's his character? That's what's his character's name?
God, why can I not think of Freeman's name in that thing?
It's such a great movie.
It is.
I mean, it's such a great movie.
Oh, man.
I know, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. Joe, game two tonight between the Lakers and the Nuggets. Who you got?
You know, I've got the Nuggets. I said it earlier. I think it's really bad for the Lakers that they came back and made that a game, and LeBron had to play the whole game as they furiously tried to steal it.
Yeah.
And I think LeBron is like, he needs like his little kind of like walking days here and there, and I think tonight might be a walking day for LeBron. So I think the Nuggets go up 2-0, and the Lakers are going to have to regroup at home.
Lakers win tonight.
I'm going
L.A. tonight on the road. They'll even up the series at 1. I think LeBron has a big night, so does AD.
I'll bet you a cup of coffee on Chase's coffee machine that we've broken into his office to use because he didn't order us coffee.
By the way, Red is the name of...
Oh, duh.
Yeah,
thank
duh.
You. Andy and Red.
We're complete idiots.
Yeah. I won't spoil it. They may or may not be friends.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We'll see what happens tonight. Game two between L.A. and Denver. Game one tonight between the Panthers and the Hurricanes in the Eastern Conference Final in the NHL as well. And Joe's favorite time of the year, the PGA Tournament or PGA Championship starting today as well. That does it for us today on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Go ahead.
Real quick, Keith had a text that said hashtag MILF hockey.
Yes.
That's a great combining of themes in the show today.
Thank you very much. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.